big ol' Marcus.
Oh, dude.
Big ol' Marcus.
Right here, right here.
Welcome back to the Native Ways Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Ellis.
I'm your co-host, Christian Miller.
And today, we got Canyon back on the scene with us.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That was real awkward. Anyway, we're going to be giving a little update today, talking about some things we've been working on, talking about a little bit of the past content that we've been creating, some future content that we'll be doing, just some things coming up the next couple months. But yeah, we'll get into that here in a minute.
Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the like button. Just make sure you follow us on all our other social medias at Native Ways Podcast. Really appreciate the help and support. You know, shout out to Texas Cash Magazine, Dancing Dogs Ranch as well. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah. Yeah, and right now is a pretty tough time across the state of Texas with the flooding in the hill country. So we just want to say, you know, our prayers are with everyone down there. If you're a member of our community in that area, we're praying for y'all. Wish we could do something. There's not much anybody can really do right now. Just pray for the rain to stop, which is unusual to be saying in Texas. But, yeah, our hearts go out to y'all down there. But anyway, yeah, what's next topic of discussion?
Yeah, so we actually have some big news coming up. We're doing another drop on hats. This time they actually will be for sale. So that'll be in August whenever we're going to actually drop that. The dates aren't completely permanent right now. We will let you know when we get closer. But those are in the works. We're going to have two styles that are going to be artifact related. One is going to be for duck hunters, so y'all just be ready for that, and it's going to be dope. Yep. There are some nice designs Richard made up, and we're excited about it.
Yeah, and then we got some stickers, too. We've had a handful of people ask if we're going to have stickers or any merch or anything, so we're working on getting that stuff for y'all. But plenty of stickers are going to be available, some artifact ones, some just strictly Native Ways memorabilia, and then some duck hunting-themed stuff, too. Eventually, we'll get something for every topic of discussion, hunting, fishing, digging, you name it, we're going to have it. That being said, all that stuff will be released soon. We'll have more information on our Facebook page. You can check us out on Instagram. Keep up with it there, too. And then pretty much everything we're going to talk about today, we've had a video already posted to YouTube, so check them out there. Like, subscribe, do all that stuff there, and keep up with us on all these different platforms. The more the merrier, and we sure appreciate it. We sure appreciate everybody that contributes. Again, Texas Cash, Dancing Dogs, all of our members, Community Cash members. We most recently, B.E. Nimshik was our Community Cash member for the month of June. He also won the Temple Raffle giveaway thing. It was a whole bunch of stuff. We made a big post about it, so really appreciate him and all his support. But yeah, we're going to get into it.
Yeah. One more announcement, though. We do have a booth that will be set up at the Gatesville show. That will be on August 9th. So it will be at the Gatesville Convention Center, Community Center, whatever they want to call it. So make sure y'all put that on your calendar.
Yeah. We got to work out the details on who all is going to be there, who's going to be running the booth, but we'll get all that figured out, and we'll definitely have people there. Cole will be set up there selling shrimp rakes, probably selling tables. We'll have something there, whether it be stickers and hats. We'll have displays of artifacts there from multiple different sites. My stuff, Canyon, probably maybe some of Christian's, my dad, just pretty much everybody that digs in our little circle is going to be there, and we're going to have multiple tables set up, so it'll be pretty cool. So come see us there. But yeah, to get into it, Canyon, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so I guess during calling season, Richard had asked me about digging on my grandpa's place, and I was like, yeah, sure, but I mean, I've lived there. I mean, I grew up on this piece of property and never really thought about arrowheads being out there, and we just kind of got to looking on Onyx and some different terrain features and stuff, and he's like, dude, I think there's going to be one somewhere in this general area. So I was like, yeah, let's get out there and look at it sometime, and we kind of... What was that, like on a Thursday or a Friday?
Yeah, it was a Friday. It was a Friday evening?
Yeah, it was a Friday evening. We went out and looked, and we were like, dude, I think there's going to be... I mean, we found multiple places that we thought there was going to be camps. And I guess Saturday, we met Cole out there, or he came and brought his machine and some tables. And he cleared some some brush back to a spot that we had found. And I mean, the first hole that he dug just with the grapple bucket, I mean, we popped out two broke. So we're like, okay, we're in them. So let's get everything moved up here and start digging. And it wasn't long before we were finding some good, good stuff.
Yeah. And it's been a really cool experience. You know, me and Cole, we've been digging for many years, and we've located camps, each of us, and dug camps separately, whatever. But for Christian and Canyon, this is the first time they've actually got to see it, you know, start to finish process. Well, we're not, I say finish. We're not finished, but we're in the process of digging the camp. So I would say finished result of actually digging a camp. Mm-hmm. They got to see what goes into looking at water bodies, looking at the terrain, and then looking at the actual physical sign, and then popping holes and seeing what you're looking for in the dirt too. What'd y'all think about that?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time you're not just going to be able to know exactly where it's at. You just kind of have to have a general idea of where you would have camped, or where, you know, kind of picture what it looked like back then and picture a good high spot blocked by a wind, whatever. Not all camps are going to have that, but you know, if it's set up exactly with all those features, then you know that there's a very high chance of something being there. Thankfully, this spot already had sign on the surface. You know, you're seeing fire rock flakes on the surface, so we knew that there was going to be something below it. And you know, luckily this really wasn't very deep. I mean, what are we getting, like a foot and a half, 2 foot at the most?
Yeah. If you watch the videos that we posted digging the site, it's a very shallow camp, and it's due to where it's located on the property topographically. You know, it's kind of up out of the bottom, up on the limestone outcrops. So the camps can only be so deep. And we're finding stuff from bird points all the way down to early archaic, probably, I would say. Some bullverdes, some early purds, and then some martindale, stuff like that. So pretty early archaic pieces.
That old hair, hey?
Yeah, with the birdies. But yeah, so, you know, a fair amount of occupation within a very shallow area. But then you can step down into the bottom, too, and there's camp down there. But it's a whole different type of digging. Like y'all have seen popping those holes down there, you got to go through 2.5 foot of overburden just to hit a layer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which we hadn't really poked around much down in there. You know, we located it, and I'm sure we'll dig it eventually. Just right now, we're still finishing out what we're on right now. So, but yeah, Cole ran that grapple bucket in there, rolled the bucket up. I mean, one scoop, popped two brokes, and they were, I think it was a purd and like a martindale looking thing.
I had that drill looking thing as well.
That's right. Yeah, it was like a drill. A lot of bone, a lot of flint, a lot of fire rock, and then we kind of sifted through that just real quick right there, hit another bucket, rolled out two monos, and I think another broke. We're like, all right, yeah. So we go get the tables, bring them down there, get everything set up, which it's actually a really nice spot to dig because there's a lot of shade around you. It's a real small camp area that we're digging, but it spans a good ways because basically what it is there's a bluff system that kind of slowly rolls off down into the bottoms. Mm-hmm. And it makes these little fingers that stretch out over the fields before you go down to the bottoms with springs tying into a creek running from the bluff. So these different little finger outcrops that come off, it's like every one of them, it seems like, has that same shallow occupation layer in them.
Mm-hmm.
At least from what we've seen. I mean, just about every one we've walked on or in that area, it's solid flint, fire rock all over it. So, you know, they may be a little shallower, they may be a little deeper. We haven't really dug into them much, but there's something there.
Yeah.
And what's really funny is actually, so that Friday evening, Canyon and I kind of walked around down in the bottoms looking for sign down there. Didn't even really pay attention to stuff up on the high side. Then when we got there Saturday, right where we parked, we started seeing fire rock and flint and found a couple brooks there too. So then we just kind of followed that stuff around, looked at the bottom spots, kind of prioritized where we wanted to go, and then pretty much stumbled upon this spot accidentally on the way back out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we get in there, get the table set up, and yeah, what happened next?
I mean,
it started off hot.
Yeah, it was from, well, we popped a hole pretty much in the middle of the camp. for the most part. So we were trying to start in the middle, work our way towards the edges, kind of make a wall and go from there. We popped some holes around in different spots, you know, just as stuff was getting slow. But for the most part, that was the plan. And I think it was probably the second bucket, maybe third, Cole was operating. Look down and see that little chicken foot Perdiz sitting on top of the bucket, and that's when we kind of figured out what we were going to try to find, or what we were going to find in the camp mainly, because we, you know, we didn't think it was going to be a bird point camp until we found the first one.
Yeah, it's very similar to a spot that I've dug for years with my dad and Luke. We've talked about it on the Temple episode, actually. Real shallow midden. But it's all older, you know, early archaic stuff. So for some reason in my mind, like when we started looking at the site, I was like, oh, this looks just like that. Ran the grapple bucket in there, rolled out a perd, drill, whatever. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. And then stinger black Perdiz just sitting on top of the bucket, is the first whole good piece we find.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was the same bucket or not. But Cole dumps it, and it wasn't, what, 5 minutes? Yeah, basically, probably. He found that point. I called my dad because my dad was helping Luke do some stuff that day, so he wasn't there. But I called him, like, hey, you know, this is what's going on. It's starting out really good. And got off the phone with him. I take two swipes on this new load, and I heard tink, tink. And, like, if you dig, you know the sound of flint.
Mm-hmm.
And the second I heard it, like, I hadn't fully seen the piece, but because I'm looking at the wall of dirt as I'm screening. So I swipe, I hear tink, tink, and I see it just lay over out of the corner of my eye, like my peripheral, and jump off the table. And I was like, oh, crap, or something like that. I don't know. I didn't have the GoPro going or anything, so there's no live reaction. But they all see me react. They come over, I grab my phone, and anyway, it was like second or third load, 5 1/2 inch hair of hay.
Yeah.
So then we're like, oh, okay, now we know.
Yeah, we're just over, I think it was me and Canyon over on one table, and it all of a sudden we just hear this touchdown celebration going on, and we're like, what the heck is going on? Richard's running around in a circle, like kneeing down, pointing to the air. You know, like, we're like, dang, dude, what's going on over here? We walk over, and he's like, you see it? I'm like, yeah, I see it. Pull it out. Yeah, it was a good time. I mean, a little over-exaggerated on the celebration part, but it definitely caught everyone's attention.
Yeah, I didn't do a Colin Kaepernick for certain.
It looked kind of like it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, no, so pretty hot start. I mean, right off the bat, killer Perdiz, pretty nice hair hay, and then, you know, me and Cole, like, immediately were like, oh, it's going to be a Perdiz camp. And then I think the very next load that y'all had, one of y'all found a broke hair of hay or broke Perdiz or...
I think it probably would have been Canyon.
I think I found a couple of brokes out of the next few buckets.
That black one or whatever it was?
That was the second day.
No, that was the beginning of the second day. But, no, yeah, I found multiple broke Perdiz and stuff that I was just like, is even if it was just as small as the ear, and but you could still see that it had the shape, and I was just like, man, if some of these were to have been whole, they would have been some stingers, like the same quality as like that black one that we found right at the first of the day. And I was like, I know that the quality is here, we're just trying to figure out what the quantity is going to look like.
Yeah, and honestly, as we got into it, the quantity's pretty decent, and we were finding a fair amount of fairly whole pieces to brokes to start out. It slowed down, but it started out real hot. And that first day, I'll put the pictures of what we found that day in the video, but yeah, I think, I don't know, we probably found 40 or 50 pieces between four of us the first day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for the amount of dirt that we moved in that spot so far, you know, just it really hasn't been too bad. You know, it's been pretty good.
Yeah. Christian had a rough start, right?
I think so. I mean, I can't remember at this point. But
we've dug there 5 or 6 times, been just kind of slowly poking through it. But
I did find a piece that was pretty cool. Me and Canyon were there. Richard had something to do. He was going to show up in the afternoon. So we were just kind of screening one table by ourselves. And I pull out a piece of bone. And in this load particularly, there's like a section. It's almost like a bone pile that they had, like a scrap pile. But I don't know if that's really what it was. But it seemed like we pulled out 2 buckets of just solid bone. And I looked at one. And I was like, man, that looks like way different. You know, it kind of looks like something I think it is, but I don't know, because I'd never actually found one myself. And it actually ended up being a broken bone awl. Thankfully, it was the actual tip part of it. You know, it was a little bit rougher since it was in that black dirt and stuff like that, but you could definitely tell what it was. So I saved it, and I sent a picture to Richard. He was like, dude, oh my God, like, dude, where'd you find that, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was like, dude, I just found it. Is it really what it is? And he was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, I can get excited now. You know what I mean? Like, because I haven't seen it enough in person to know what I'm looking at. And I was like, I think I know what it is, but I'm not going to get too happy about it. But I was extremely ecstatic after that.
Yeah. Super nice polished piece. And what's really funny, too, is the day before that at work, he's like, dude, I'm going to find a bone awl this weekend. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Which, in other produce sites, like San Saba, which we've talked about a lot, there was quite a few bone artifacts. And we're saying bone, we mean animal bone, bison, deer, whatever. A lot of bison bone in San Saba. This site hasn't had near the amount of buffalo bone, but it's been in there. But, yeah, the Perdiz culture made a lot of bone tools. And anyway, I was like, yeah, you know, maybe, whatever. Like, well, yeah, I hope so, but not super confident. I mean, I haven't found very many bone tools myself, especially I haven't found a single one that's whole. And he sends me that, and I was like, dag, you know, I was pumped.
And then, yeah, I got it all cleaned up and everything, and I still haven't put the sealant on it. But yeah, we'll show some pictures in here as well for y'all to see that. But it's really cool to pull that out, especially in there.
Yeah, super, super artifact for around here. And then I think it was the second day, Christian wasn't able to come, right?
Mm-hmm. But your dad came instead.
Yeah, and that day got pretty rowdy. Like, it was close to as good as the first day's quantity. Between four of us, we found probably 30 or 40 pieces. But it started off really hot, and it ended insane.
Even hotter.
Yeah. So, Canyon, go ahead.
Yeah, so the day before, I was sifting on a table while the rest of them had gone down off in the bottom just to kind of popped a few test holes just to see what was down there or whatever, and I was sifting on a table up top, and I was just beat. I mean, we were probably out there for, what, 12 hours that first day?
Oh, yeah, we were.
It was ridiculous, and I was just give out. So I left dirt on the table, which I know you're not usually supposed to do, but I was like, I'll just come back and finish it first thing in the morning while they start a new table. And it was probably 10, 15 minutes in. Cole was on the opposite side sifting or whatever, and he rakes down kind of at the bottom, and the wall sloughs off, and I just see a point sticking up out of the air, and I was like, oh, man. And I picked it up, and I got to looking at it, and I knew it was a stinger, but it had the tail was broke just, I mean, a little bit. Maybe a quarter of an inch was broke off the tail, and I was like, man. But, I mean, it would have been to the same quality as some of the ones that Cole was finding on day one and that you found on day one. But I was like, I was beyond pumped because I'd finally found one, you know, and because the first day was pretty slow for honestly just the table that Christian and I were on. It seemed like, and we were like, man, this is, it's fun. Like, we're good, it's, we're having fun because we're with the guys, but at the same time we're like, man, we're not really pulling nothing out. And while Cole and Richard out here pulling just stingers out, and we were like, man. But I found that one, and then we cleared the table out. The very next table, I find, I mean, it was some sort of a bird point, but I mean, it was probably no bigger than your thumbnail. And I dang near raked it off the table. Like, I had pulled down some dirt. I was sifting it through or whatever, and I was going to clean it off, and it just popped out right here in front of me, and I was like, oh, man. It was, like, solid black with one white ear, and, I mean, it wasn't, like I said, the size of your thumbnail, and I was like, I could have easily lost that.
Yeah, the first piece he found that day was an exceptional perdiz. It, honestly, probably would have been... It's hard to say it would have been the best one from there. If it wasn't the best one, it would have been the second best one for sure. It's not the biggest, but it's made out of Owl Creek, and it had a tan stripe through it.
Yeah, one of the ears was like a brown tan color. Yeah. And I didn't notice it till after I had really cleaned it up and was looking at it up in the light. I was like, hey, Richard, did you notice this? And he's like, what? And then he got to looking at it. He's like, what in the heck? Like, you don't hardly ever see something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful piece. But we kept trekking through that day, and it was pretty hot the first half of the day, pretty much like the first day. The first day was pretty hot the whole time. Like, we did pretty good. We found a lot of good stuff the first day. But that second day, the second half after lunch, kind of slowed down pretty dramatically. Mm-hmm. And we dumped the last two loads, and we're like, yeah, this is going to be it, yada, yada. And I think you and my dad were on a table, mm-hmm. and me and Cole were on a table, and I'd already finished my side. And I'm just standing there, you know, kind of talking, leaning up on the table, and Cole's got like an eighth of a table left, and he swipes across the top of the dirt, and he goes, yes, and like grabbed it as he swiped, just yells yes, and takes off. And I was like, huh, what does that mean? Which... the perdiz he had found the first day was really nice. So for him to react that way, I knew it had to be pretty good. And the brokes we'd been finding, you know, we'd been finding brokes that were suspect to be 2-inch plus perdiz. And seeing that, you know, we knew there was going to be one in there. Well, he runs over basically all the way to the point. And he's standing there with his hands on his head. And I got it on video. Anyway, he turns around, he walks back down into the hole, and we all come down in the hole to meet him. He turns, faces the point, we're behind him, and he just holds it up in the light, paper thin, two and a quarter. Yeah, 2 1/4 inch perdiz, totally translucent. Like, you know, you can run your finger behind it and see your finger. Just exceptional perdiz. So that's how we ended that day, and it was killer. It was a really cool way to end it. And then, you know, since then, we've just been poking at it slowly and, you know, pulling out good pieces still. But, yeah, that first weekend, it really hit hard. The second weekend, your buddy found a pretty good...
Oh, yeah, about Brent, 2-incher. My buddy Brent Pruitt from Gatesville, he pulled one out. Well, he actually pulled out a real nice broke when after we had sifted those two tables that I had loaded the night before. And Christian found that bone knoll or whatever. We were just kind of hand sifting or whatever in the hole, just waiting on Christian or waiting on Richard to get there and Cole to get there, and my dad to bring the skid steer back to us because he was borrowing it. I had to take it to him the night before, so I went ahead and loaded the tables. But we were kind of just scratching around in the hole a little bit, and he pulls out this, I mean, nice broke, and we were like, dude, that would have been killer. And but, I mean, he was excited about it. That was, like, the first one he ever found. And if you know Brent, he's not very emotional. You know, he doesn't really show any, like, emotions, like excitement or anything. And we were sifting on the table or whatever, and he was kind of on the very end. I was on one side, and I think you were on the other side.
Yeah.
And I was sifting, and he was, like, we were all sifting or whatever, and you just hear him go, oh, there it is. We're like, what? And then he picks it up and he shows us, and we're like, holy crap. I mean, it was right about 2-inch perdiz as well, and it was kind of the same style like how mine was. We were like, golly. I mean, paper thin, you could see right through it, and I think we showed more excitement than he did. I mean, he was excited and all, but he doesn't really show it a whole lot.
Yeah.
He knows what he's got.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a killer piece. There's been, some really good pieces out of just a little bit of digging we've done. We really, we've hardly touched it, and it makes me excited to see what else is there, you know, A, where we're at right now, and then B, on the rest of those little knobs, too, because you know it's going to be through there. It makes me excited for what's in the bottom, too, because you know it's going to be down there, too. And the other deal to it, too, is, you know, up there we found a little bit of everything. The main occupation's been pretty easy, but we found some Enzer, we found some Purd, Darl, Bull Verdes,
Nolans,
Martindales. So a little bit of everything in a small area. And also, too, just on the surface in other areas, too. Darls, Martindales, stuff. Just everything you want to see. So we know they're going to be there in other areas as we keep digging through it. And, yeah, I'm super excited about it. Super appreciative of y'all, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Another thing is we've been finding a lot of pottery out there. I mean, just a few weeks ago, Cole and I went down there, and I pulled out three pieces of pottery, just hand kind of scratching around on a corner or in the wall. I pulled out three pieces of pottery within a foot of each other, and I was like, holy smokes. Like, and we'd been finding pottery in the days before, and so it's, I think there's liable to be, you might not be as, might not find a whole piece, but you're allowed to find parts that can make a whole piece out there.
Yeah. Another cool thing, too, is, so, like, San Saba, I didn't really ever put two and two together while we were digging there. I was just, because I was there trying to find a point. Like, you know, I'm there paying, I want to find something. So, if it wasn't a point, I wasn't really all that interested in it. But you would find flake perdiz in San Saba every time you went. Well, here, you know, being that we're running the dig, it's private, whatever, we're able to kind of look at things a little closer and understand them. So digging through, you know, we start finding those flake perdiz, and every one of them has a median ridge. So what that means is, and when we say flake perdiz, that means no other work than basically the general shape, no secondary flaking, and they're uniface completely. Like, they may not even have any work on them other than just, you know, the stem of them notched out. But a median ridge, so if you're holding a point and you drew a line from the tip to the bottom of the stem, it would be a line that runs straight top to bottom. That's a median ridge. So on all these flake perdiz, you can see that median ridge. And then if you find a worked flake perdiz, so like a uniface one, you can see how they worked from edge to edge back to that ridge. And then the other side is just a flat flake. So they would start on the ridged side to have something to shoot towards when they were napping it, and not just break it in half napping the uniface side. So it's been cool to see that. And then also to see these little flake bladelet things that they would make. Basically, it's a preform to a flake perdiz. You'll find these long flakes that are about that long, with that same median ridge. And it's before they ever worked them. They would just make them, just like you'll see, like, a Clovis bladelet or whatever that comes from a core. But they were actually making these little preforms, or, like, you find a preform for a Castorville or something. It's just a little rough, crude piece. But you'll find these little flakes with a median ridge that they were intentionally making. So that was really cool to notice, to have the time to actually see it and kind of analyze it and figure that out. Just from not digging very many perdiz sites whatsoever.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of those I might have put to the side and not known that they were something.
Yeah, I've got one that's from out there. Like, if it wasn't for the fact that it just kind of has the rough shape, you would not have noticed that it was a point. But yeah, it's got work on the stem, and that is it. But I also have one in my A-frame of birdies that's from there that's a solid flake perdiz, and all it's got is stem and ears, but it is a straight nasty son of a gun. And then my best one from there is a uniface one, so it's got work on one side, the other side is just a flake, and it's about an inch and a half, pink, totally translucent, super killer. But yeah, I mean, it's been a really good site so far. Just really fortunate to get in there and actually be able to dig it too the way that we have. And yeah, it's been fun.
Oh yeah, it's, but I would have never, I mean, I know that y'all have always, or you've always done it a lot and just fell in love with it. And I was just kind of like, you know, It's Arrowheads. I mean, yeah, they're cool or whatever, but I never really did think about it a whole lot until we got out there on that site, and I was like, okay, this is a real bad addiction. It really is. It's no different than, you know, calling and stuff like that. Once you get in the groove of it, it's hard to get out. And I mean, I plan on doing it for a long time.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, it's so there's three things I would say I'm addicted to, and it's calling coyotes, hunting ducks, digging arrowheads. And arrowheads allow that, you know, kind of that pastime between hunting season, which once it hits hunting season and we start hunting, we're gonna be like, dang, I wish I was digging arrowheads right now. But like right now we're like, man, I wish we could be duck hunting, or we ought to be calling, which, I mean, we could go call or we could go dig at any time, but ducks, you can't. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, just another thing, but y'all know how it is. Y'all are watching this, so y'all totally understand. But that being said, you know, it's been a lot of fun out there, and we're not done with it, and we got a lot of other things in store, too, that are going to be pretty neat as far as digging goes, content-related, that are coming up, but we're not going to talk about that yet. But, so we're in July, right? Yep. Hunting season's coming up quick. I mean, we're a month and a half from dove season. And then what does that make us? 2.5 months from duck season.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty close to calling season. I mean, we say season. You can call all year, but, you know, we don't really
contest
start.
Contest season.
Yeah, contest season. So what do we got geared up for dove season?
Well, I mean, right now we got at my place some brown top millet that's been planted. I planted that the first week in June. Typically it's 60 days for it to mature, so gave enough time for it to mature up, die off a little bit, get cut, and then get burned a couple weeks before season. So with all this rain that we've been getting, there's probably a slim chance of it dying, which is good. I was kind of worried about it. It's drought tolerant, but you know, whenever it gets hot here, there ain't nothing surviving other than cactus and yucca plants and mesquites. That's about the only thing that'll survive. Cedars, yeah. But, you know, we got plans for that. I mean, typically every year we definitely do a opening day grill and swim and hunt. So looking forward to that before my boy gets here. So that's definitely going to be my last hurrah for a while. Still going to get a lot of stuff done, a lot of hunting done. But, you know, got some priorities that I got to take care of, but it won't be the end, obviously.
Just but getting started.
Back to the dove hunting. So yeah, we got the brown top millet. Like I said, it's going pretty good now. I mean, there's been enough rain within the past couple weeks. I'm hoping it actually doesn't drown, because it has been pouring and everybody knows. But yeah, I'm excited for that. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of dove around right now. On the way here, I probably saw 200 just on the side of the freaking road, dude. It was insane.
Yeah, they're loaded up down that.
I guess they just got done with their nesting or whatever. I don't know if they just had their babies and they're all taken off now or what. I don't know. But they're everywhere.
Way more than I've seen in the past years this time of year. And I don't know if it's because of the water or the food or what. I mean, probably a mix of everything. And we've been talking about it on and off, like at work and stuff. Like, this summer has been unusually cool compared to past summers. I mean, we've had what, like 2 or 3 days that were in the hundreds?
Yeah.
And they were all the same week.
It's been the hottest so far in May.
Yeah. Yeah.
May was like our hottest month so far, and it ain't been that hot since, really.
Yeah, pretty much like 92, 94. The humidity here recently has kind of sucked when it does get hot. Like, I think before all this extra rain, it was hot yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
It was miserable yesterday.
But yeah, it seems like dove season's going to be good. We got another spot that we planted some croton on top of the fact that it naturally grows, but we went and manipulated a couple acres worth and planted that on a flyway, a good flyway. So that should be good. And then, we've been kind of gearing up for duck season. We actually, before this podcast and probably after this podcast, we've been talking a lot about improvisions on the high rack. I mean, it's very efficient the way it is right now, but every year, you know, we're always making little tweaks and changes. And like, we ran into some issues with it this year as far as our seats and tables. So we're getting some custom tables built, solid steel, and then we're going to rebuild our our seat and table stems, basically. So we've been talking about that. Y'all want to kind of hit about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the weakest point that we've noticed so far has been the tables. The design is good. Like, it definitely was good. But we've had some flaws that we're working out, so we're going to get some custom-cut steel tables, and we're going to redo our design on the stems on the chair, kind of like a V design, potentially putting some light bars on them, and a battery box with a, I don't know, what did you call that pin to hold it in place? I don't know what it's called.
Oh, yeah, like
it's
a little
like a spring-loaded pin.
Yeah, for like
that
a gate.
Keeps it in place.
Yeah, I know. If y'all are watching on YouTube, there's been a few people on YouTube request a video over it, and then there's been a few people on Facebook ask too. So we've been kind of accumulating footage of building the high rack as we've made improvisions to it. And probably once we get done with these things, we'll, you know, make it one big long montage video mm-hmm. of the build process, which even when we started the video, we'd had the rack for a year and a half. So like the rack was already built. But we'll go through and talk about what our original concept was, because the rack is, from what we originally intended it to be, has completely changed from the start. Like, originally it was supposed to be to where it could be like a plug-and-play system on a ATV, like mm-hmm. or side-by-side, to a truck, which we accounted for every vehicle possible you could put it in the back of when we built it. Now, the idea of making it fit in a side-by-side and a truck hasn't really worked, because the whole point was to be able to lift the platform and change it on its base. But we'll explain that in the video. Anyway, it's totally turned into something different now. And honestly, where it's at is really functionally, like, it's super functional.
Oh, yeah.
And when Christian said the tables are a weak point, it's not that the table system is a weak point. It's that the tables we've built are a weak point. The tables are the way to go, mm-hmm. like, in my opinion. I've hunted off of racks that have like stems that have death grips or tripod, like ball heads on them, whatever. Mm-hmm. Not really a fan. I don't like the stationary, stationary gun in one spot, you got to be set there. Like, I don't like, and you swivel to them. I don't like that. I like the table. I feel a lot more firm on the table. I like having an armrest. Like, you're basically shooting off a bench. And yeah, if you shot off a bench, yeah. But the weakness in them is we've been making them out of plywood. We tried to make them out of steel this year. We didn't approach it correctly. So we're circling back on that, getting some custom ones built, and then we're going to rig them up, and it's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, what we've done for most people would have been, like, amazing, like, flawless design. They would not have had any problems, but we're, like, fine-tuning everything to where it's pretty much perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everything is done to a T the way we want it, just customized. And we've had those nights where we've been working on it for, like, 12 hours, and, like, well, we got extra material. We can do this. Hey, look, we can just put rails on it. Why not?
Yeah.
We can just throw rails on it. You know, it's just been one of those things that when you have a love to do something, you will go to some extents to get it done or do what you love. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we've done a lot of really creative things too. Like, I've been on a handful of racks, and none of these other racks have had the thought behind them that we've put into this. I can tell you that. Like, everything we've done on this rack has a function. Mm-hmm. And every time we make an adjustment on it, it's been for a function that we've seen in one scenario, and we're like, man, if we just did this, it'll totally change the game on our numbers. And every year, we've consistently seen our numbers increase based off of the little tweaks we've done. And, like, I don't want to say we've always called in the same numbers. We've consistently called in the same numbers, but as we've gained better property and more property, you know, those numbers go up. But also having the proper equipment to be able to execute it right has... Anyway, and it's only going to keep happening. We put in a lot of work, a lot of effort to get to where it's at. only one of us at this table is an actual welder, so having him on the team now has helped a little bit too with getting things built a little more efficiently. But yeah, it went from being a totally adjustable system. I mean, seats, stem, table stems, platform base, all that was adjustable, to now it's a pretty much stationary deal that has one purpose only. And yeah, a lot of really cool parts to it that hopefully we can show y'all, and y'all can get some ideas from, take away. And it's not like that all these ideas are ours. Like, you know, we'll see a wreck and be like, oh, that, you know, like the new seat system we're gonna do, it's not our original design. We've seen it somewhere else, looks good, we're gonna try it. If we don't like it, we'll ditch it next year. But most of the stuff we've done on it's been our designs, our trial and error, like our storage on it, our battery storage, all that stuff. Christian, the smartest thing I've ever seen on anybody's rack is Christian's storage box that he come up with.
Yeah. I mean, it was an old show box that my wife actually had used, and I'm sure that her brothers and stuff had probably used it before, but I was like, hey, Keith, you got any use for this thing anymore? And he was like, not really, I still got one. I was like, I'll buy it from you. So I bought it, and we've used it to put our switch panel on, put our battery in, keep our call in it, ammo, any extra stuff that we don't want in the truck, we'll just throw it in that show box.
Yep.
Put the little carabiner on it and then go.
Yep.
It's been extremely nice, for sure.
Yeah, super nice. Probably, that thing is probably my favorite part of the rack, honestly. That one little box. And it's like such a simple thing, but it makes everything right there. And you never know, maybe we'll add some more.
Yeah, we got it down to where we can pull up to a spot, get out, and be on the rack calling in probably, I would say, a minute or two at most.
Yeah.
So efficiency has definitely been a helpful thing with the whole process as well. Anything we do has added efficiency.
Yeah. Added a ladder this year that Canyon helped us design, which is super sweet, super efficient. Added a basket to it for carrying. Originally it was for carrying our dead stuff, because we went from throwing dead stuff in the back of the truck to throwing it into the basket to now we throw it into
a big old it's actually a water trough, like a cattle water trough that I had bought from a little store just west of Evant. I called Richard or whatever, because we were using like syrup tubs to put them in, and I called Richard and I sent him a picture of it. I was like, hey, what do you think about this? It'll fit in the rack or whatever, and we'll just notch a side out, or just a kind of a part of a corner out for our ladder to come down in. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So I went and I bought it, and I guess it was that weekend I came out here to Richard's. He had the rack in the bed of his truck, and we're like, let's test it out, see what it's gonna do, because I think that was the night that we took our dads hunting, and your dad ended up, shooting a fox, and then my dad got on his first bobcat. That was pretty neat to be a part of that with him. But so we got this big water trough, and we set it in there, like, that's going to be perfect, because it seemed like every time we'd go hunt, we'd fill up our syrup tubs. We're like, well, if we're going to fill them up, we might as well get something bigger to fill up so we can shoot more. That was just kind of a joke, and then during the big gray tournament, I mean,
got pretty close to filling it up.
We got pretty dang close to filling it up, so I was like, hey, it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Even the tournament before that, I mean, we to fill that trough up is a lot of animals.
Yeah, it could probably hold close to, what do you say, 20 coyotes?
Yeah, I bet it'd hold 20 coyotes.
Now Canyon uses it for his hot tub in the off season.
Got a little added seasoning. But yeah, that was what I told him. I was like, yeah, I mean, if we fill that sucker up, something's going right, so let's try it. And we got really close to filling it up this year, so that's the goal next year. We're going to fill it up one hunt. I know it. Like, it's going to happen. Hopefully it'll be that first hunt in January.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a – we got some things, boys and girls. I don't know if we've talked about it or not. We're not going to get too into detail on it, but we'll just say we got something found. We tried to kill it this year, didn't get it killed. We're going to kill it next year.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if we got to hunt it every month of contest season, it's going to die. And yeah, anyway, you'll know when it happens. We'll tell you. It'll be big news. But yeah, so we got a lot of plans with the rack, a lot of upcoming stuff with that. You know, deer season's coming up. We've not been the biggest deer hunting out. I don't even know what I'm trying to say here.
We're not big deer hunter guys.
Yeah, there you go. But we're still going to bring you some deer hunting content, and we'll bring in people that do a lot of deer hunting stuff like that, just like we did last year. You know, duck season, got a lot of big plans for duck season. We got some new property for ducks. Probably with all this rain, hopefully that'll help us too. I've seen water in places that I've never seen water here before, yeah. Which makes me excited. If this water will actually hold, I think it'll be really good. If the weather stays the way it's been too, I think that'll help us a lot. And then, before hunting season two, we're going to bring y'all some stuff y'all requested last year. Y'all requested some gear reviews on specific brands of camo that Christian and I both use. Probably get Canyon to do a review on his cold gear system that he uses. We'll do some trail cam review stuff. That one's going to be a good time.
We'll probably break it down by, genres of hunting. So we'll do a duck hunting review, we'll do some deer hunting review stuff. So y'all get to know pretty much everything that we use for everything that we do.
Yeah, and these are honest. They're going to be honest reviews. I mean, this is our money that we're spending. We're not sponsored by anybody. You know, this is gear that we've purchased and figured out what we don't and do like. Some of them are going to be excellent reviews as far as the quality and, you know, how we feel related to the product. And then some of them are going to be, this thing is a piece of junk. Do not buy it. If you buy it, go run it over and throw it in the river. I don't know, but don't. Just don't buy it. That's what some of them are going to be.
Yeah.
But, probably do some stuff over some coyote calling equipment, too. Y'all have been around enough to know that I love Lucky Duck. And we all love Hornady, as you can see.
Yeah.
But, maybe some duck call reviews, things like that. I mean, a bunch of different stuff. But we'll have some stuff, especially a little bit early before deer season and stuff, for people to buy camo before it gets to be full price while it's still on sale and stuff. We're going to keep bringing the Arrowhead content once things dry out. The August show, or the Gatesville show in August, that's coming up. Christian's baby's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of cool things coming right around the corner. But I don't know. I think that's about it on my end. What do y'all think?
I think it's a good one.
Yep, I think I'm done.
Nothing else to say?
That's it.
Well,
y'all make sure you keep living your hobbies.
See y'all later.